CD 9.
One of life's little certainties, said Susan, standing on the edge of the museum's parapet, is that there is generally a last chocolate hidden in all those empty wrappers. Then she reached down and grabbed the top of a drainpipe. She wasn't certain how this would work. If she fell... But would she fall? There was no time to fall. She had her own personal time. In theory, if anything so definite as a theory existed in a case like this, that meant she could just drift down to the ground. But the time to test a theory like that was when you had no other choice. A theory was just an idea, but a drainpipe was a fact. The blue light flickered around her hands. "Lobsang," she said quietly, "it is you, isn't it?" "That name is as good as any for us." The voice was as faint as a breath. "This may seem a stupid question, but where are you?"
"We are just a memory, and I am weak."
"Oh," Susan slid a little further.
"But I will grow strong. Get to the clock."
"What's the point? There was nothing we could do."
"Times have changed."
Susan reached the ground. Lady Lejean followed, moving clumsily. Her evening dress had acquired several more tears. "Can I offer a fashion tip?" said Susan.
"It would be welcomed," said her ladyship politely.
"Long cerise bloomers with that dress? Not a good idea."
"No, they are very colourful and quite warm. What should I have chosen instead?"
"With that cut, practically nothing."
"That would have been acceptable."
Susan blanched at unfolding the complex laws of lingerie to someone who wasn't even, she felt, anybody.
"To anyone likely to find out, yes," she finished. "It would take too long to explain."
Lady Lejean sighed.
"All of it does," she said. "Even clothing. Skin substitutes to preserve body heat, so simple, so easy to say. But there are so many rules and exceptions, impossible to understand."
Susan looked along Broadway. It was thick with silent traffic, but there was no sign of an auditor. "We'll run into more of them," she said aloud.
"Yes, there will be hundreds at least," said Lady Lejean.
"Why?"
"Because we have always wondered what life is like."
"Then let's get up into Zephyr Street," said Susan.
"What is there for us?"
"Wienrich and Bircher."
"Who are they?"
"I think the original Herr Wienrich and Frau Bircher died a long time ago. But the shop still does very good business," said Susan, darting across the street.
"We need ammunition."
Lady Lejean caught up.
"Oh, they make chocolate," she said.
"Does a bear poo in the woods?" said Susan, and realised her mistake straight away. Teaching small children for any length of time can do this to a vocabulary. Too late. Lady Lejean looked thoughtful for a moment.
"Yes," she said at last. "Yes, I believe that most varieties do indeed excrete, as you suggest, at least in the temperate zones, but there are several that..."
"I meant to say that, yes, they make chocolate," said Susan. Vanity, vanity, thought Lute saying, as the milk cart rattled through the silent city. Ronnie would have been like a god, and people of that stripe don't like hiding. Not really hiding. They like to leave a little clue, some emerald tablet somewhere, some code in some tomb under the desert, something to say to the keen researcher, "I was here and I was great." What else had the first people been afraid of? Night, maybe? Cold? Bears? Winter? Stars? The endless sky? Spiders? Snakes? One another. People had been afraid of so many things. He reached into his pack for the battered copy of The Way and opened it at random. Koan 97. Do unto otters as you would have them do unto you. No real help there. Besides, he'd occasionally been unsure that he'd written that one down properly, although it had certainly worked. He'd always left aquatic mammals well alone, and they had done the same to him. He tried again. Koan 124. It's amazing what you see if you keep your eyes open. What's the book?